By the Illuminati or the Cryptocracy or whatever the hell you want to call them. And now all but 5 minutes remain of that 1 hour show Chica and I recorded. That episode was also plagued by strange beeping sounds and other anomalies, which I found very curious, and often suspect that that show once again indeed may have been tampered with by those Bavarian bad boys of the Illuminati. Another possible NSA/Illuminati episode of interference with this program took place the first time I tried to interview one of our guests who will be appearing tonight, Mr. Jeffrey Turner, who, though slated to call into our last program, was unable to as his phone went conveniently haywire during the time he was supposed to call in. Coincidence? You decide. Another strange oddity of a weirdo cyber nature had to do with my streaming internet radio show called Radio Go-Go. For some reason, the website that hosts Radio Go-Go just completely vanished into nothingness a couple days ago, which was indeed strange, as the guy who runs that and a couple hundred other websites at the Libertas Media Network said it was the first time this had ever happened to any of their sites, and he had no idea where all the content for the website went. Once again, I'll ask, coincidence or conspiracy, and let you all decide. However, we refuse to be thwarted by the Illuminati, the cryptocracy, or whatever you want to call those hangman, rope gangster scum on top. And we have moved Radio Go-Go over to another URL, which is stavolk.com. That's stavolk.com, which you can also find a link to on my Untamed Dimensions website. And you know how to get there, I hope, or you wouldn't be listening to this show. So, on with this show. One of our most popular episodes to date was entitled The Secret History of the Summer of Love, which we'll be revisiting tonight with part two of the series. Last go-around, we were joined by Douglas Hawes, who shared with us the amazing story of how Tuesday Weld, from behind the scenes and in a very occult fashion, influenced the 60s counterculture as an Illuminati high priest, in essence ushering in the summer of love in all its manifest forms, some of which weren't all that sunny. In fact, some aspects of the summer that later turned out to be a bummer had a rather dark tint to them. Our other guest, who was scheduled for that previous episode, was a fellow, as I mentioned, Jeff Turner, who is the prime disseminator of this story of Tuesday Weld as Illuminati High Priestess, and we'll bring those folks on right now. To start off the show, I want to welcome Mr. Douglas Hawes. Douglas, are you there?
How's it going?
Okay. How's things tonight?
Not bad at all.
Ready for a second go at the Secret History of the Summer of Love? It looks like we have a Mr. Turner on the phone here.
Yeah, let me do a brief introduction of Jeffrey Turner.
Yes, please do.
Well, Jeff spent many years working a number of blue-collar jobs in machine shops, metal foundries, furniture warehouses, plastic factories, before he decided to commit all his time to his research work into secret societies and conspiracies, as well as his main focus area, which is advanced government black budget programs based on hitherto undisclosed advanced technologies, especially technology associated with the name Nikola Tesla. Now, Jeff comes from quite an interesting family. His father was a career military aviator, serving in the Army Air Corps and then the U.S. Air Force. And his service was 22 years in duration. He served in three wars, World War II, Korea War, and in Vietnam War, he was commander of the 19th Air Commando Squadron. And he gave his life on September 4th, 1967. And Jeff's father's name is on panel 25E, row 112 of the Vietnam War Memorial. And once again, that was Lieutenant Colonel Merrill Dean Turner. And Jeff's stepfather, Richard Truesdale, also was a military aviator who later went on to be a Pan Am commercial pilot. He served with the Marine Corps in World War II as a Corsair pilot and transferred over to the U.S. Air Force, where he served in the Korean War and served in the same bomber squadron as Lieutenant Colonel Merrill Dean Turner. And both men were members of a mysterious military secret society named the Kalanicki Order. And so Jeff was brought into secrets from a very early age. And Jeff, how are you doing tonight?
Hello, Jeff.
Jeff, are you there?
Yes, I am here, Adam. And remembering our interview that we did for Steam Shovel Press magazine, much of this information we'll be discussing is in Steam Shovel Press, but we'll go We'll go further and expand on that. Whatever you want to know, just ask questions, and I'll answer the best of my ability.
Yep. Well, Jeff, one thing I wanted to mention was I first met you in December 1987 in Santa Cruz at a Hanukkah service at Semach Adonai, a Messianic Jewish congregation there, and you immediately filled me in on work you were doing, monitoring the activities of a local cult priestess who had affiliations with had a boyfriend who was affiliated with the KGB. What were you doing at the time, Jeff?
Well, back then I was working as an unpaid volunteer with the CIA, with my station chief, who is out of a Wix TV repair in Oakland, named John Raumacher. And I'd started that in the early 70s. This person, whom I can mention the first name of only, K-R-I-S-T-I, Christy, went home, situated in 71. And she took over the leadership of the Process Church of the Final Judgment. And I like the connection that Adam has made in the current Paranoia magazine article about the Process Church in Manson. That's pretty good. But we're going to go farther here tonight.
Yes, please do.
Oh, we certainly will.
Wasn't Christy tied in to the World Nazi Network or International Fascism?
That is known as the overlap. You see, there's three organizations fighting for control of the world. The Process Church of the Final Judgment, the Druidic Illuminati, with Tuesday Weld as the leader, of course, in 1959, took over full power. I'll explain how she did that a little later. And then, of course, the International Fascism. I've spoken over the air regularly with Mae Brussel when she was alive and helped her out with information. And I've spoken over the air regularly at different times with David Emery, so... And we call it the International Fascism. The old secular right is the term I like to use for it, because that's the danger. They use the new right as a mask, and that's about all the new right is good for. And we have the International Fascism was run by Martin Bormann out of Colonna Dignitat for a long time.
Where was that?
Colonna Dignitat is a German colony of dignity in northern Chile. And then recently, just a few years ago, the Chilean government kicked him out of there. Very magnanimous thing to do.
Well, Jeff, you had mentioned way back then on a number of times that Christy had actually been at one point discipled in Tuesday Weld's Hollywood circles, where she was training a lot of young starlets in her magic arts. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yes, I'll expand on that. Before 1974, in the late 60s, when Christy was just a teenager in the late 60s, still in actually junior high school, she was recruited and discipled by Weld, and she was associated with Charlie Manson as well. And then it was going really good there, and there was an overlap between the Process Church of the Final Judgment and the Druidic Illuminati. Christy and Tuesday Weld were friends until 1974. They had a falling out. I was actually the cause of that, and caused the big split there in 1974.
Because you warned Tuesday what Christy was doing behind her back, right? Because you actually knew Tuesday Weld in the 70s.
Yes, I did.
Now, you say she approached Christy. She was just a young girl in high school. How did she come to the attention of Tuesday Weld?
Christy was a nymphetic type person, and was very, even in junior high school, had a reputation for seducing men and women. And in junior high school, she had this. At 12 and 13, she was one of those really precociously seductive people, and was also affiliated. It was also joined in with the Process Church of the Final Judgment then, and she was a practicing occultist and Satan worshiper then. even in junior high school. And that attracted the attention of course, Tuesday Wells, someone potentially very great.
I see. So she was brought up through the Process Church, and at some point she took over the reins of leadership.
Yes, I'll explain how she did that. She did that while she was in high school in the about 69 through about 71. She pushed aside Robert Moore de Grimston, exiled him to Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Robert Moore de Grimston had the reins of that for a while. And Robert Moore de Grimston and Charlie Manson both said of each other, "I'm him, he is me." And they knew each other quite well. Like I said, I knew Charlie Manson back then also.
Let's talk about Tuesday Weld for a while, though.
Okay, sure.
How did you first meet Tuesday Weld? How did you get drawn to her? And tell us a little bit about your history with Tuesday Weld.
Okay. Back first, since I seem to be in a lot of places with a lot of people where history is made at certain times, when I was in 1959 or so, when I was living in Riverside, we'd go on trips to go to Hollywood and Los Angeles and see different people. And when I was about 1959, when I was about 5 years old, I met Tuesday Weld for the first time. And she always had like a lot of children around that age area who would swarm around her and hug her and everything. And I was one of them. And that's where I first met. And we kept encountering each other through the years since then. Tuesday Weld has a gift for attracting small children. They seem to really like her.
Well, you actually went and visited the set of the movie The Serial when it was being filmed.
Yes.
And you actually talked to her face-to-face.
That was one of the times I've talked with her face-to-face. Yeah, that was in 1979, around May.
And then... But you also caught a film festival with Henry Jaglom, the director of the movie A Safe Place, in which Tuesday Weld starred.
It was his first movie.
Yeah, that was a Tuesday Weld Film Festival, and you had a chance to talk to her there as well. When did that?
Yeah, I don't remember when that was, but Henry Jaglom came up in San Francisco and had a film festival, I think, in 84 in San Francisco, and he showed... two or three of his movies. I don't know if one of them was Safe Place or not, but I got to talk with Henry again, and I've been to Henry's place, International Rainbow Pictures in Los Angeles, and I've talked with him there.
What did he say? I hear you.
Oh, actually... we talked about Tuesday, and he's a Tuesday Weld protege, and Tuesday Weld brought him into the industry and really benefited. He grew up in New York like Tuesday did, and I believe that's where they first knew each other in New York when he was growing up in New York City. Yeah,
now,
he has just glowing praise for Tuesday, of course.
What sort of things did he say to you behind closed doors? Because I hear there was actually like he kind of swore you to secrecy about some of the things he should.
He did, but I haven't spoken with him since about 1984, so.
So what can you share?
He confirmed the Illuminati, Tuesday Weld, queen and high priestess of all the druids, and the Manson Beach Boys thing, and many other things that I'm going to share about Tuesday Weld. He just confirmed all the stuff that I'm going to share.
Now, a little background on Tuesday Weld, and Doug got into this a bit in our last episode, but are we talking about a druidic Illuminati bloodline that goes back with the Weld family? And how did it all come about that she became the high priestess, the leader of this Illuminati movement?
She was born into it. Her bloodline of the Weld family goes back to the start of the Illuminati in Babylon with Nimrod and his mother wife, Semiramis, and that bloodline with Tammuz, and then continuing on. And through the Weld family and through the Druids, which were in Asia Minor, and then thousands of years ago migrated west into the Celtic areas, of the Western Europe area. So Tuesday Weld was born into it, but she had potential, and she showed her potential that she could be a leader in this, and her family put her in power. There was a ceremonial blood sacrifice of people to put her in power, and that was... Don McLean wrote about that in the song Miss American Pie. Tuesday Weld is the Miss American Pie referred to in that song. And as the flames climbed high into the night to light the sacrificial rite, that was when that plane crashed with a big bopper, Buddy Holly and Richie Valens. That was planned that way. They later found a discharged gun in the wreckage. So people were sacrificed to put her in power. That was in February 3rd, 1958, I believe.
Amazing.
Yeah. So Weld is in the bloodline family of the Druid.
Yeah, and that's the top Illuminati family in the Illuminati. The Weld family tells the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and these other families what to do. And Fritz Springmeier's book, Bloodlines of the Illuminati, he has all that in there, except he completely misses the Weld family. But it's a great book.
So, tell us a little bit about the Weld family and their role in American history, though. Is Tuesday Weld the only important Weld family member that has made an impact?
No. There's William F. Weld, who was governor of Massachusetts recently. And then there was almost every Weld son went to Harvard. And the Weld family, behind the scenes, has been controlling government, finance, and evil spirituality, and controlling these other leader families in the Illuminati, which basically are a lot of American history. And the Illuminati is a pyramidical structure of the Rosicrucians, their scientific research and development division, the Masons, their rank and file divisions, the Druidic, their leadership division, and then other areas that were Illuminati-oriented, like the Order of the Golden Dawn and Aleister Crowley. He was a part of that, too.
So we had the sacrificial rite in the late 50s with the sacrifice of Buddy Holly and the
Richie Valens and the Big Bopper.
And so we moved into the 60s, and talk about some of her connections there and the folks she was influencing, and move us into late 60s when she met Christie.
Okay, well, we'll start in the early middle 60s. She, and I confirmed this with some information, people had information with the State Department, she got the Beatles their passport so that they could come here. There was a lot of opposition to bringing the Beatles here. And because a lot of the right-wingers in our federal government said, hey, these, and correctly said, these are Druidic high priests. And the so-called British invasion, that's what it was, and Tuesday Weld overruled that with her power and brought the British invasion of the music here. And the Rolling Stones, she basically created them and got them going.
Mick Jagger
is a very close friend of Tuesday Weld. He dances on the puppet strings of Tuesday Weld.
How high is he in the rock and roll element in the Illuminati?
He's quite high. He's pretty high. Although somebody much higher who was in the Illuminati and the entertainment director of the Illuminati before Tuesday Weld came along, and he helped Tuesday Weld's rise to power in the entertainment industry in the late 50s, early 60s, was Bob Hope. And they did a movie together called I'll Take Sweden that came out in about 65 or 66 or so. And they did this movie together. And it was kind of a pre-60s youth rebellion, kind of an early 60s youth rebellion type
mm-hmm.
thing. And it was quite interesting. But Bob Hope and Tuesday Weld has done publicly USO tours with Bob Hope. And anyway, back into the late 60s, in the middle late 60s, Tuesday Weld basically got the Beach Boys rise to power. There's a song called Barbara Ann, and you can hear when they stop singing, you hear laughter, and you can definitely hear on the song Barbara Ann, Tuesday Weld's voice and her laugh. It's very distinctive and interesting. At the same time they were recording that in 1965, her character in the movie Lord Love a Duck, which was made in 1965, was named Barbara Ann. Interesting.
Now, there's a few songs, I believe, that at least you've stated this, that allude to Tuesday Weld. Some major recording artists such as Ruby Tuesday,
Mick Jagger's homage to Tuesday Weld. She's buying her Stairway to Heaven, that song, that's about Tuesday Weld. Very druidic.
Now, how responsible was Tuesday for bringing psychedelics into that movement?
Oh, she was definitely in on that. There was that guy that turned Timothy Leary on, that German guy from Switzerland. But anyway, Tuesday Weld was involved because remember, Timothy Leary is a Harvard professor. Harvard is controlled by the Weld family. And then, Tuesday Weld was definitely involved in bringing the psychedelics and the whole dope scene into the 60s counterculture, because she's been on and used about, she experimented and used all these drugs like Yage or Telepane, and she did all those drugs when in the late 50s, early 60s, definitely a substance abuse type person. And she did all this, and then she brought it to the counterculture, and Tuesday Weld basically triggered the youth rebellion and helped get that going. Because you can see her behavior in her beatnik days, in the youth rebellion at that time, she was in the beatnik movement, and then she came out of that, and the beatniks became hippies.
Jeff, I want to continue on with this chronology, but are you interested in taking a phone call at this juncture?
Okay,
we have a phone call from the 541 area code, so caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Mike, and I'm calling from Oregon.
Okay. You have any question for our guests?
Yeah, I'm interested. I've been studying a little bit the way the 60s was sort of promulgated and constructed. And I'm curious if he's heard of Theodore Adorno and his influence on the Beatles, maybe some of the other music. I heard that he owned the song rights of the Beatles before Jackson bought them.
Theodore Adorno. I'm not familiar with him.
Okay. He's a philosopher, isn't he, or some sort of scholar, academic?
Yeah, I think he was a professor, but I did a little research on him. He has some very expensive books. I think they're like biographies that are selling for like $1,000 by some of these companies that publish, you know, extremely expensive books. Maybe that's so people can't afford to buy them or read them, except for a few. But, supposedly, according to Alan Watt, and then I also read somewhere last night that Adorno wrote a lot of the material for the Beatles and that he owned the song rights. But
indeed, yeah, I have heard that name mentioned before. So what do you think about our guest's theories regarding Tuesday Weld?
It's very interesting. I've never really heard her brought up, or the family, or anything in any of what I've read.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any other questions for our guests before we let you
What know? Is she doing today?
Basically just doing her ceremonies and leadership of running the Druidic Queen and High Priestess of the Druids, running the Illuminati. Her last film came out in 1996, and then that's around the time a biography on her came out, but it's basically a film TV surface biography, doesn't go that deep. And back about 2 years ago, she got in a fight with her adult son Patrick, and he broke her knee. And then I saw this picture in one of the magazines with this big knee brace from the top of her thigh down to her ankle. The article said she went with her maternal instincts and decided not to call the police on him, but it was a pretty good break there. And I know Patrick, her son, and she has a daughter and a Natasha and a son, Patrick. He was born about 70, late 75, early 76. I saw her when she back then. I talked with her and met her when she was up in San Francisco with Patrick's father, Dudley Moore, who passed away, and I saw her when she was great, big, and pregnant with Patrick.
Huh. Very good. May I possibly ask one more question?
Sure.
Sure.
Do you know much about the Druids or Gaelic history? Or
yes,
Celtic
I do.
History?
Yeah, I do.
I've read this one book by Connor McDarrie, Irish Wisdom, something to the effect of Building the Pyramids, Writing the Bible. And then I've read other sources that say that Irish is the only antediluvian nation in existence.
Welsh would have a disagreement with you on that. And so would the Britons of France and the Welsh and the people on Malta would definitely say they're survivors of the deluge as well.
Would you estimate that any of the Druidic religion had direct influence or was sort of stolen by the original Catholic Church?
No. The Catholic Church and the Druids they've been at odds since the Roman occupation of the British Isles, partially. And, the Catholic Church and the Druids have been very, very opposed to each other. The Roman Empire and the Druids fought each other, and that carried over into the Roman Catholic. There's quite an antagonism between the Roman Catholic, who consider the Druids very dangerous pagans.
You know, that's interesting, because a classic movie from the 1960s called The Viking Queen, it really should have been called The Druidic Queen, because it's a movie in which the Roman colonizers, the occupiers of Britain, find themselves in a struggle with the Druids and their priestess queen leader, who is obviously, from the way you're explaining things, was a portrayal of Tuesday Weld. And I would imagine her backers or she herself had an influence in the forming of that movie. It came out as The Viking Queen, because that was...
What year did that come out?
I would say about 65, but there was a big Viking craze back then. But
I remember that.
The movie,
there was a movie called... In 58, there was a movie called The Vikings that won Best Picture.
This is a good movie, though. The Viking Queen, and in the trailers, it actually shows Druidic blood sacrifices, human sacrifices, in the opening trailer to the movie. So...
Yeah. There's been portrayals of Tuesday Weld in film, and interesting enough, Christie has been portrayed in a lot of films and TV shows. Her type of character has been portrayed in several things. I keep seeing things all the time.
So, Jeff, she also, Tuesday Weld was also kind of reflected in the Addams Family, right? Wasn't the young little girl that had, like, that strange... kind of clairvoyant personality, and her name was Tuesday the first couple episodes, and then the name of the little girl was changed to Wednesday. About the Addams
Family? I don't know enough about that. Yeah, except the Addams Family was a kind of an Illuminati rebellion. The Addams Family was made as an Illuminati to help the people rebel against international fascism, the old secular right.
And which show at the time was the right-wingers' counterpoise?
The Munsters.
The Munsters. That was
the Munsters was kind of a counterpoint to that.
The counterpoint to the Addams Family.
Yeah, you see, these three groups, they have their battleground in the movie and television and singing and entertainment industry, and you have a lot of conflict there because these three groups keep fighting there.
So how did the Tuesday Weld and her people fit into the whole... kind of hysteria that took place in Hollywood with the kind of like the McCarthyist spirit? And I know the Addams Family has in the script pokes and kind of like sarcasms directed at the right-wingers in American culture.
Yeah, well, the McCarthyism, that was the Joe McCarthy got a lot of Nazi war criminals released early in the 40s, in the late 40s, interestingly enough. And then the McCarthyism, the going after the communist witch hunt, started in 47, 48, and McCarthy didn't really get on that bandwagon until 1950. That was definitely a old secular right international fascist movement to hunt down the Illuminati people, which were behind the communist front. the communism in the world was just a front, but the international fascism, the old secular right, was using, of course, the new right then, and it was using the communist witch hunts. They were going after the communist, which is a way they could eventually go after the Illuminati, but of course, the Illuminati counterattacked and basically torpedoed the McCarthyism.
So your socialist left and liberal left in Hollywood was basically Illuminati affiliated, or
yeah, most of it was. Yeah, there were some honest liberals who were independents. Yeah,
who are some of the big independents that were not affiliated with Weld, and the people you've talked to that confirmed to you that they just never were loyal to Weld, just did their own thing? That you've talked to a whole bunch of Hollywood people, right?
Yeah, over the years there was there's a lot of people who are independent. They're not affiliated with Weld, or they're not affiliated with the international fascism either, or the and of course the Process Church has a lot of people in Hollywood who make movies and stuff. The Process Church made a movie,
horror films.
Yeah, the Process Church made a movie, came out in 1973 called Twisted Brain. The Process Church, it was a movie targeting me. And then there was the Illuminati made a horror film targeting you, Doug, called Frankenhooker.
I don't buy that. But anyway, yeah. Who are some of the big names in Hollywood who are Weld affiliated and Weld loyalists? Aren't some of the biggest names in Hollywood Weld loyalists?
Yeah, some of them are still Weld loyalists even today. Well, Bob Hope, of course, and then Johnny Depp is a Weld protege.
What about the older generation of stars, like from the...
Oh, yeah.
Paul Newman, Nicholson, Beatty.
Jack Nicholson is a Weld protege.
Hardcore?
Oh, he's hardcore. He's in the movie Safe Place.
Oh, yeah, he's co-starred with Weld.
Oh, yeah, that was when they met.
How about Warren Beatty? How about
Warren Beatty? Warren Beatty is hardcore. Ryan O'Neill, hardcore Weldite. Angelina Jolie, hardcore Weldite, by the way.
She's not process?
No,
it was a death cult thing big time for a while.
Yeah, she was in that, but then she and Christie had a falling out, and she went to her Weld roots.
Her Weld roots.
Yeah, because her dad John Voight is a Weldite, and Gwyneth Paltrow's dad was also a friend of Tuesday Weld. Bruce Paltrow was a friend of Tuesday Weld. He's dead now, but I could just go on and on. There's so many people who are Tamara Grimes, an actress. There's so many Weld actresses
and producers and directors.
Let's pick up the chronology where we left it at. We're in the late 60s. Maybe you can take us through there and up to the point she met Christie, and what happened after that?
Okay, yeah, she'd always, Tuesday Weld is in the late 60s, had always come to the San Francisco Bay Area as a potential for her, and I've talked to people that she used to come into Santa Cruz here at different times, and she... had heard about this, and Christie actually, when Tuesday Weld came here, Christie was at Cupertino Junior High School, like in around 12 or 13, they had heard about each other, and they wanted to get together, and they did. And that was, that was in the middle-late 60s area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about the rock and roll connection, Jeff, though? Wasn't Tuesday Weld a major force in the emergence of the San Francisco sound, the Summer of Love behind the scenes?
Yeah, she was the Grateful Dead. They knew her, and then of course the Moby Grape thing.
How was she tied in with Moby Grape?
She knew the band members and went to bed with them. She knew a lot of them. I think of Moby Grape, she nailed them all.
Well, who was her favorite then?
Her favorite was Skip Spence.
Didn't you get him to confess to you one time?
He freely told me about that.
Then he later denied it when I was talking with him.
Yeah, well.
And what did he say to you? What did he tell you?
See, I knew Skip Spence when I was we were both living in downtown San Jose. So he and I had a history.
And what did he tell you again?
He knew Tuesday well and went to bed with her.
And what about the ritual stuff?
He didn't really participate in that much.
A little bit, though.
A little sex ritual, which he does.
How about the airplane? How are the airplanes?
Grace Slick is Jefferson Airplane Starship. Grace Slick is a Weldite, follower of Tuesday Weld. Yeah, but the Beach Boys, that was she was really close with them, as I've explained.
Now, what is the connection here with the Beach Boys, Manson, and Tuesday Weld? We know, if you read my book, The Shadow Over Santa Susana, plug, I talk about the, Beach Boys, Manson connection, but you're suggesting there was a Tuesday Weld connection with the Boys and Manson?
Yeah, I explained the connection with Tuesday Weld and the Beach Boys, and the Beach Boys were pretty much mind-controlled by the CIA and stuff, and the Weld family controlling that. A lot of singers and actors and actresses and singers and bands were mind-controlled and are and still are, and there's quite a lot of that going on. Yeah, back to the Manson. Yeah, Manson and the Beach Boys, that connection other people have shown in books and documentaries on TV, but the Weld Manson connection, that's something that I knew about personally that most people didn't know about, but you can make some of it through the Weld Beach Boy connection and then the Manson Beach Boys connection. The Manson Beach Boy connection is pretty well known. You have that in your book and then, of course, in your Paranoia magazine article, which is quite nice as far as it went.
Well, didn't this underground publication in L.A. in 1969 called Tuesday's Child, didn't it declare Charlie Manson Man of the Year? What's that all about?
Yeah, well, that's because I'll explain it how it has happened. Manson was recruited by Tuesday Weld when he was at Terminal Island before 1967. When he got out in 67, the Manson family and Manson and his family, his mind control family, he set up. He did that for Tuesday Weld. Here's the crux: the Manson family is Tuesday Weld. This execution squad. That's what they went out to do. That's what they did. They killed a lot of other people that you don't know about. But the Manson family was Tuesday Weld's execution squad. Sharon Tate was a rival to Tuesday Weld, and Tuesday Weld wanted her out of the way. Tuesday Weld has gotten a lot of people out of the way. She cast one of these things called the Great Spell, and had Jane Mansfield so that Jane Mansfield would be decapitated in that car wreck. That was a spell cast by Tuesday Weld.
We got to talk about Anton LaVey and the Church of Satan then if you're going to bring
in. Anton LaVey was a Tuesday Weld protege, did what Tuesday Weld told him to do. That's why he came up to San Francisco to be an above ground, the first above ground satanic church in a long time. So he was definitely a part of that.
He dedicated his satanic Bible to Tuesday Weld and Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and Marilyn Monroe was murdered on the orders of Tuesday Weld. It's pretty much come out that Marilyn Monroe was murdered, but the orders, it was on Tuesday Weld. One, Tuesday Weld had a personal hatred and rivalry with Marilyn Monroe, wanted her out of the way. Also, the Kennedys, which were in the Illuminati, rebelled and left the Illuminati. Joseph Kennedy did that and took his sons with him. And Tuesday Weld murdered Marilyn Monroe to say, hey, I can get your lover. I can get you, too. This is a warning to you. They didn't heed the warning. So Tuesday Weld had both Kennedys killed.
Along with everybody else, it was a major overlap operation. Everybody agreed with that one, right?
Yeah, because there was a lot of people, because the Kennedys were rebelling and they were threatening to spill the beans and expose everything. And so all three groups got in there with the overlapping of all three groups. They got in, but it was Tuesday Weld's in June
Hey, guys, I need to mention something here.
Yeah. Okay.
The opinions shared here tonight are not necessarily the views of Blog Talk Radio or its affiliates, and may or may not be the views of the host. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. So, that's fine. A little disclaimer there. Satisfy the legal department or whatever that is.
So you're going to talk about the cover of Life magazine.
The cover of Life magazine in June 1963, Tuesday Weld put herself on the cover, big color picture of her, after the 62, after she had Marilyn Monroe murdered. And so that was, that was a warning saying, hey, I'm powerful, I know how you control things, you continue to rebel, we'll get you. And then she got one, and then the other one, Bobby Kennedy, she used the Illuminati, the Rosicrucians. It came out that the Rosicrucians programmed Sirhan, to mind control program assassin to do that, but he didn't do the shooting. Thane Eugene Caesar did it, and you can see his color pictures of him right behind Bobby Kennedy grinning. And Thane Eugene Caesar was the Nazi leader in Southern California. I knew him in Riverside before and after he did that, and he informed me, he bragged to me, that he's the one that killed Bobby Kennedy back in '68 when I was in Riverside.
Inside Edition did an ambush journalism piece on Thane
Eugene Caesar.
Yeah, they went right up to his door and knocked on his door and asked about the assassination.
I saw that, but he's not going to admit that publicly, but he admitted it to me.
So, Jeff, we talked a little bit about the Jefferson Airplane and Tuesday Weld's principal disciple in that band, Grace Slick. We talked about her connection to Skip Spence, and you claim other members of Moby Grape, and the Grateful Dead, and
also the British group The Who.
What about them?
They were Weld disciples. They were Druidic priests and Weld disciples.
Didn't they rebel against her? Didn't they, in their song Babo O'Reilly, go, here's the new boss, same as the old boss? That was their, who's next?
Was more an attack on the international fascism, actually, that wording in that particular place.
Oh, I thought it was an anti-Weld statement.
No.
How about the movie Tommy with the idol of Marilyn Monroe and all the rock stars are bowing to this big idol of Marilyn Monroe and the movie, Ken Russell's movie Tommy? What's that all about?
Yeah, well, that was, a lot of people in the Illuminati still liked Marilyn Monroe, but Marilyn Monroe was basically a mind-controlled sex slave.
Well, wasn't that Marilyn Monroe idol in Tommy really an invoking of Tuesday Weld as a priest?
Is reminding people that, on the inside, reminding people that Tuesday Weld had Marilyn Monroe killed.
No, I think it's more like she's the high priestess of the rock and roll temple is how I saw that scene.
Well, I didn't. There was that other Ken Russell movie, the Druidic one. What was the name of that title? It was started out in an oak forest.
Lair of the White Worm.
Lair of the White Worm. That is definitely a homage to Weld movie.
And the Druids as well.
Yeah, the Druids. Amanda Donahoe in there. She's a Weldite.
So, Jeff, what about the movie The Lost Boys? And you talked to Joel Schumacher, and what did he say about Tuesday Weld's influence on that Santa Cruz-made movie?
When he was here, he confessed it to me that it's definitely a Weld-type movie, and it was Weld attacking. That was a Weld-made movie.
Attacking Christie
and the Process Church of the Final Judgment in Santa Cruz.
Was Schumacher,
There's a book by Nigel Cawthorn called Satanic Murder, and they have a section in the book on Santa Cruz and the Process Church of the Final Judgment and people in Santa Cruz who are Satan worshipers in the Process Church of the Final Judgment. I found that quite interesting.
Well, how does Weld fit into that movie, The Wicker Man, which actually has a druidic human sacrifice?
And I saw the remake of that also. The remake was excellent, and the people in there in the remake are Weld people.
What about the original?
The original was Weld people.
Who was her principal person in that film?
Britt Eklund, I believe.
Rod Stewart's girlfriend, and
yeah, Britt Eklund was in the original, but the remake, I was just astounded at the remake, and the woman who was the Druidic queen and priestess in the remake was basically just acting the part of Tuesday Weld.
So
it was amazing. I was going, Tuesday Weld could have done this.
So was Tuesday Weld all bad, or is there a good side to Tuesday? You've told me that there's good things she did as well.
The good thing she does is probably fight against international fascism, the old secular right, so and keeping them out of power. So there's something good there.
What about things like the civil rights movement and the sexual revolution and the breaking down of conformity and rigidity in our society?
Yeah, well, that's what I just said. That's fighting against breaking down of conformity, rigidity, and uniformity. Control freaks, that's fighting against the international fascism, the old secular right. Of course, the sexual revolution just was in rhetoric only. Like, they found out that this came out in 1994, that three-fourths of all single adult Americans are not having sex or fornicating, and as of year 2002, 54.4% of all high school age people in the United States are virgins, and that's going up 1-2% a year. So the sexual revolution was just basically a public rhetoric thing.
So Jeff, into this nightmare battle between Tuesday Weld and her Illuminati network and Christie and her process church and also Nazi affiliations, what happened in the late 80s that began to break up this ugly rivalry that was hinted at in Schumacher and his backers' decision to shoot the Lost Boys in Santa Cruz in 1986?
Well, there's something which came out of the Kalinicki, the Knighthood Order of the Kalinicki. This was the All Nations Movement. It was born on August 12th, the Founders' Day, 1982, August 12th, 1982, by 11, 12-year-old young female child, and we'll get to that in a moment, but the All Nations Movement was born and created out of the Kalinicki. And the leader, there's actually two leaders of the Kalinicki. The founder of the All Nations Movement, which leads the Kalinicki, took over from Richard Truesdale.
Your stepfather.
My stepfather, yes. And that woman took over. But there was another leader in the Kalinicki, an older woman. I'm not going to mention her name because I could be raked over the coals and basted if I do. It's kind of an older version of Tiffany, the leader of the All Nations Movement. And since this was in the Steam Shovel Press article, you can reference that. That tells a lot about who Tiffany Renee Darweish is and her leadership of the All Nations Movement. And she has come in, and the people who follow her and her movement and the Kalinicki have stopped a lot of the evil of all three of these groups. Although it has been eliminated, of course, off the earth, but she and her people have stopped that. Can I share about the rivalry and why the rivalry between Tuesday Weld and Natalie Wood?
Why don't we pass on that? I think we covered so much information.
Yeah, I'm just going to say Tuesday Weld actually had Natalie Wood murdered, but I won't say why if you don't want me to.
Well, one interesting thing there is Natalie Wood was actually born with a Ukrainian Slavic name.
I know, Natasha Gazarenko.
And this is widely known public knowledge. Biography will reveal that about Natalie Wood and her sister, Lana Wood. And the thing is the Kalinicki is an Orthodox...
they started in the Ukraine, and during the pagan Ukraine, when Ukraine became a Christian, which is a beautiful story, suddenly, which is about a courting couple. Anyway, we'll go into that later.
But that's another secret society tradition in Hollywood, because the Wood family had Kalinicki affiliations, probably, right?
Yeah. I'm going to say it. Svetlana Gurdin is also the other leader in the Kalinicki. and she was leader, and she basically was the governor over to watch and to keep Richard Truesdale in line, because Alana Wood she's been over to my house with Richard Truesdale. She's been coming there for years. I know Alana Wood quite well.
Oh, to the house in Santa Cruz?
Yeah, the house in Aptos.
The house I've been to.
Yes, the one
really?
You've been.
Really, Alana Wood has dropped by when your dad, your stepfather?
Yeah, they know each other. Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know that. That's something new, Jeff.
Yeah. Well, that's new. Anyway, so.
So Natalie Wood was one of the good guys, huh?
Natalie Wood was one of the good guys, and okay, I'm gonna say what happened real quick here. Tuesday Weld, one of the times she tried to have me killed. Tuesday Weld was going to have me killed, and back in 1981, Natalie Wood, who's always been a protector of me along with Lana since I was born, Natalie Wood says, "You got to go through me." And Tuesday Weld said, "Okay, I will." And Tuesday Weld had Natalie Wood gave her life to save mine. I'm here because Natalie Wood gave her life to save mine.
Okay.
So that's that definitely should be a part of this story that we're telling here tonight.
And another interesting thing about that is Natalie Wood and Lana Wood were raised in Sonoma County by their Ukrainian
Santa Rosa.
They were raised in Sonoma County area by their Ukrainian family.
Yeah, and
spoke Ukrainian in the home, and they were fairly regularly would attend a Ukrainian Orthodox church in San Francisco, which
St. Michael's were
about.
Yeah, where I've been.
Go there.
Yeah, they would attend the other Ukrainian churches I was at because in the 70s and 80s. And, like I said, Lana and Natalie, I've known them for, they've protected me all my life.
So, Tiffany and the All Nations Movement, so they cleared up a lot of this black ritual activity going on and cut down the size quite a bit, the Illuminati and the process and the international fascists. Is that
true? Yeah, that is true. Yeah, the All Nations Movement, which Tiffany Renee Darweesh founded, she has done so much good helping out humanity all over the world with others. And, of course, since it was in the Steam Shovel Press, I'll mention it here, Tiffany is also the worldwide Sufi master. She reunited all the Sufi orders, and she was raised in the Sufi Lebanese Arabic Sufi tradition. It was in Steam Shovel Press, and so basically the All Nations Movement is a unification of the Sufis and the Kalaniki. So the All Nations Movement was created from those two groups.
Well, I think we've tied everything together here, and we need to start winding up, guys.
Okay.
For our listeners out there who want to join the All Nations Movement, how do they do that?
You could just philosophically just say I'm a part of the All Nations Movement, or spiritually, and say I fight for the cause against these three groups, and I fight for spiritual and sociological freedom of people to make free choice and not be controlled by control freaks, and be peacemakers and be freedom. And you can write to Tiffany Renee Darweesh at the addresses and celebrity directories. And there is I'm going to mention one other person who is in the leadership of the All Nations Movement, does international humanitarian work, and she's a leader in the All Nations Movement. I'm going to mention her. She's about a year younger than Tiffany, and that is a singer and actress, Alyssa Jane Milano. Alyssa Milano has a song she recorded on her first album called We Need the Children. That's as good as the song by White Lion, When the Children Cry, but this song, We Need the Children, is pretty much a good anthem for what the All Nations Movement is doing.
What's she doing on that Crazy Witch show, then?
That's canceled, and that was a spiritual warfare show. You know what that charm show was? I'll say it very simply.
Mm-hmm.
It's a basic expansion of the C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letters. That was basically a contemporary dramatization of C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letters, and it was doing a very good service with helping people fight spiritual warfare. As there's many very nice shows on TV for the last few years about helping people fight spiritual warfare.
I always enjoyed Charm, but I think I got more out of looking at Alyssa and the other gals on there. But
yeah, you know. Alyssa made two movies about spiritual warfare and sin and redemption. Called one was Embrace of the Vampire, another was Poison Ivy 2 Lily. This Embrace of the Vampire was spiritual warfare, but Poison Ivy 2 Lily, and they were both about sin and redemption at the end. And they're very, very good spiritual movies, and it really shows, along with that song, "When We Need the Children," it basically, and Alyssa's international humanitarian work, it just shows all the good stuff.
Well, very good. I'd encourage our listeners out there to go...
join the All Nations Movement.
Yeah, and check out the works of Alyssa Milano and Tiffany, and you can out their photos on the Internet, too. So, hey, thanks, guys, and... we'll have to do it again sometime.
Okay, because there's a lot more information out there that that we can cover in the future. As David Emery says, that's grounds for further research and food for thought.
Exactly. Thank you, Jeff and Doug. Thank you.
Okay, signing
off. Guys.
All right.
Okie dokie. Thus ends another mind-expanding, brain-gobbling, amazing episode of Untamed Dimensions. Thanks again, one and all, for listening from the great American heartland to the pyramidal structures on Mars. Until that time, Maxwell, until that time.
Now tell me, baby, what do you see? Do you think that it's reality? If I had to live a life with your brain, I'm sure that I would go insane. You're mine, you're mine, you're mine. You're mine, you're mine, you're mine. You're mine, you're mine, you're mine. You're mine, you're mine. One too many times you open the door, and I elevate up. Reach the top floor. I tried to tell you time and again that all the things must come to an end. You're off your mind, your mind, your mind. You're off your mind, your mind, your mind. You're off your mind, your mind, your mind. You're off your mind.
Waves presentation, darling.